Look at your neighbor and say, I don't look anything like you. And then say, thank you, Jesus. Or you can look at your neighbor and say, man, I wish God would have made me look like you. Thank you very much, worship team. Yes, yes. God is good and He is creative. If you look at His creation at all and the wonders of it, it's like, how could there not be a creator? It always amazes me when I go to a mountain peak, 7,000-8,000 feet above sea level, and there's water gushing out of the hillside. That does not make sense. Right? And I don't think it just happened by chance. I think it happened by a very creative creator. This is one little tiny piece. If we look around, we'll see all that God is doing, all that He's done. And everything points right back at Him. Of His greatness, His power, His might, His creativity. If we just stop and look. We're going to dismiss kids for children's church. We have children 3 years old to fifth grade. There's classes available over in the east wing. If you would take them out into the foyer, take a left over into the east wing, they'll get you to the appropriate classes. Some of you look too old for class. Oh wait, those are the parents taking their children to sign them in. And there's also the nursery available behind the window titled Bookstore. If you have children 0 to 2 years of age, you're welcome to take your children there. You still have audio and visual if you want to sit in there. And as always, you're welcome to sit right here with your families and enjoy church together if you want to. I kind of think church is a family thing. Because God created the family. But it's fun for kids to go learn at their level also. Helps them out. They get to grow and develop. So we're jumping into a new series. I'm waiting to come up with it. Hey, two people got that. We're calling it Spirit Sensitive. I like that. I like to be sensitive in the spirit. But if I don't take care of my spiritual man, if I don't feed my spiritual man, which is part of what a fast does for you, it heightens your awareness in the spirit and what's going on in the spiritual realm around you. And you're a lot more aware of people around you and their spiritual needs, not just, she's in a wheelchair, she needs help. He's on crutches, he probably has a broken leg, but it lets you be in tune with their spirit also to know what their real needs are. To see, are they hurting? Are they broken? Do they need someone to say a kind word to them? Do they need someone to stop in the grocery store and pray with them? Do they need somebody to take them out for lunch? And if we get connected with our spirit, if we become spirit sensitive, we can be a lot more helpful to the people around us. So we're going to look at it through the five senses of the human body. Okay? Everyone plug your nose.
So you gotta plug your nose for this one. Because the sense we're talking about today is smell. Okay? And I'm about to release a gas in the heat system. It's going to stink. No, I'm just kidding.
But wouldn't that be funny? No. Why not? Because when you smell something, it goes into your body, right? When you feel it on the back of your tongue or the front of your tongue, it's not very lovely sometimes. Has anyone ever worked with sheep or goats? You know that smell they have, and then you taste it, and it's really nasty? Yeah, that's a smell we don't like to talk about. Now, how about, have any of you ever smelled a rose? Is that not lovely? Is that not wonderful? But we're going to talk about our sense of smell. But before we do, I want to look at a couple of verses. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So this is Jesus talking to his disciples just before he ascends into heaven. He's telling them, don't worry. My Father's sending the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to you. And he's going to teach you and remind you. Does anybody here ever need reminded? My hand's way up. I always need reminded. Does anybody here ever need to learn something? I do. Jesus said he's sending us the Holy Spirit to do this for us. And if we become more spirit sensitive, we're more aware of his teachings and more aware of his reminding us what we've already learned that is now useful in the situation we're in. But if we're dull to the Spirit, we don't hear the teaching, we don't hear the reminders, and we just go on about our business and blunder through life and blow things up in a physical sense. Right? Some of you have done that, haven't you? I'm actually really good at it. Like, I was trying to tell my wife how I feel about her once, and I was like, and you smell. Of course, where does that go? So now I started a hole, and I need to dig myself out of it, right? Young men, listen, this is when you should shut your mouth. But not me. I mean, you really smell. I mean, that's not what I mean. I mean, I like your smell. I mean, I just keep digging deeper and deeper, and Kathleen's looking at me going, what are you even talking about? And I'm trying to express my love to her, because when I think of smell, I remember our first kiss. When I smell those smells that she smelled like that day, which we were out camping, and so she had a little bit of campfire smoke on her and her lawn. I like my girl smoking hot, okay? So that campfire smell mixed with her laundry detergent, mixed with her perfume, mixed with whatever product she had in her hair, and I don't know the names of those, but I know when I smell them, even to this day, 30 years later now, it triggers my brain and takes me back to that moment standing next to her parents' camper when we first kissed. If I just smell one of those products, let alone the blend of it, not campfire smoke all the time, because I've smelled that in a lot of other places. But I remember that smell, and when I was trying to tell her about my love for her, this is what I'm trying to convey, and I didn't do a very good job of it. But that's what smell does for us. It takes us back in time, a memory, which is what the Holy Spirit does for us, reminds us of something we learned or experienced in the past and puts it to use in our present day and situation. Another passage I'd like to look at is Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do you ever want to walk down a straight path? I like straight. Straight is usually the shortest distance between A and B, so I really enjoy it. If we will invite the Holy Spirit into our lives, and if we will listen to his instruction, he will show us the straightest paths. But I have to not trust in me, I have to trust in him, which I have to be spirit sensitive to trust in the Holy Spirit. A couple days ago, I was in the woods and we were pursuing a mountain lion. And the guy I was with was new to the area, but he had this fancy GPS device. He says, well, the dogs are that way, it's just 900 yards. I said, yeah, they're that way, but I think we should go that way. He's like, well, that's the wrong direction. I said, yes, but it's an easy direction. And if we go up here, we can hit this one road I know about that is not on your map and slide right over to where those dogs are, and it'll be pretty easy going. And I've been that way, and it's not pretty. If we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, teaching us, telling us, he's been there, he's done it. He can give us clear instruction of where to go and how to get there. And avoid all the obstacles, which in this case was tangle brush and thorns and downfalls and a couple of creek crossings. But the Holy Spirit can guide us if we'll allow Him in our lives and our situations in the ways that are easy and not quite so difficult. So I want to jump clear back to the fall. There's an interesting passage, Genesis 3, 6. Or an interesting piece of this passage, rather. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. So five of our senses are mentioned in this passage, or four of them rather, four of the five. She heard the serpent speak to her. She saw the tree. She touched the tree. And she ate or tasted the fruit. But her sense of smell was not involved in this. So some scholars believe it's our most pure sense of the five natural senses we have. Another real interesting factor we'll get to in a moment on that. So we're all aware that without the sense that of smell, you can only taste sour, bitter, sweet, and salty. That's it. No distinction between those, but just those four. It is our sense of smell that allows us to experience the full blessing of the flavors. Your sense of smell allows you to have this wonderful palate. Does anybody like to eat food? Does anybody want to talk about food while we're fasting? I have water. Water's delicious. So our sense of smell adds so much flavor to life that we can probably not even imagine unless we've ever been without the sense of smell. Which some of us probably have for at least a temporary period with a good head cold. You know, you just go, ooh, I don't even want to eat it. It doesn't taste good. It doesn't taste right. Why would I put that in my mouth? Right? The sense of smell is very powerful. So jumping over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Just before the fall of man, there was the creation of man. So God's creating the man here. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Why didn't he breathe into his mouth? Have you ever thought about it? You ever wondered? Perhaps because this lifeless body needed a soul. The soul was put into the nostrils to go into the brain, which the soul carries our mind, will, and emotions, which when you smell, it triggers emotions. It triggers a lot of things, actually. We don't have time to read that today. But emotions is one of them. It's kind of an interesting fact, isn't it? Our most intimate moment with our Creator is when He bent down. The lifeless man was laying there, made from the dust of the earth. And he got down face to face with him and breathed into his smeller. Right? The most intimate moment with our Creator was through our sense of smell. When we breathe life. Breathe into your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? So perhaps it is the most pure form of our physical senses that we have and can experience. That's a fun little nugget for those who like nuggets. Something to think about next time you go. You sniff with your nose. So as we think about this, what would smell be in the spirit? What do you think it would be? What does smell do for us in the physical? Sometimes it's a warning or an alarm system, right? You walk into a room, you go, do not go in there. Right? There could be poisonous gas leaking out. There could be a gasoline spill. There could be some other toxic spills. But it can warn us of danger, right? Have you ever been warned by your nose? Something's burning. Arby's cooking again. Don't eat lunch. Right? But also another thing our nose can do is invite us, right? Have you ever been sitting in church on a potluck Sunday? I grew up, it was this church body, but in a different building in town, which is now Cedar Creek Creations. And the kitchen was downstairs in the basement, and church was upstairs. And so as they're cooking lunch all through church, the smell's coming up the stairs like a chimney and just filling the sanctuary with the smoke. And it was not the Holy Spirit. It was Grandma's turkey. Or whatever was cooking. And it became really distracting to sit through church because the smell was inviting me to go eat, to go taste and see, right? But also in the Spirit, we get this invitation. God's calling us to come and see, check me out. Test and see if I'm not a God of my word. Test and see if I won't do what I promised. Test and see if I'm good. But He's inviting us. So for me, what I would relate the sense of smell to in the Spirit would be our discernment. It allows me to decipher between right and wrong, good and evil, do or don't do, pleasing to God or not pleasing to God. So I want to look at several verses today that talk about discernment that is available to us. You know what a pleasant smell is? What's pleasant to you? What's pleasant to you? I like that smell after a rainstorm when the earth is refreshed. I love that smell. So 1 Corinthians 2:14. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Do you know there are things that can only be discerned through the Spirit in this life? And some of God's things don't make sense in our life here on earth. But if we're discerning them in the Spirit, we can say it's going to be okay and it's fine. So a personal example for me, when I was 20 years old, I was guiding a mountain lion hunt, and if you read our book, Sink or Swim, you've already read this. But I was on a lion hunt guiding in the mountains up by Avery, Idaho, and the Lord began to speak to me, not audibly, but as loud as I've ever heard Him in my spirit. And He said, "Will you come work for me? Will you come teach for me?" And I said, "Okay, yeah." I didn't know what I was getting into. So I went back to camp that night, told the outfitter we had that hunt and then one more behind it. I said, after that hunt, I'm going to be done. Because he had a pretty good window before the next one, so he could find someone else. I said, I feel God's calling me to go teach for Him. And so I quit my job. Meanwhile, my wife's going through shoulder surgery, so she doesn't have a job. I'm like, but that's okay, because the market was fat at that time. They were doing all that Home Depot project there in Lewiston, and we lived down that way at that time. So I'm like, it'll be easy to get a job. So no big deal. So I go and try to get a job everywhere. Like, I couldn't get a job taking out trash. I couldn't get a job anywhere. I had a great resume, great references, and couldn't get a job to say, I couldn't work at McDonald's. Like, they were hiring, needed lots of employees, and I couldn't get hired. It was, and in the time, I'm like, God, what's wrong? I thought I was doing what You asked me to do. I was going to get into college because I thought He wanted me to go be a teacher in school. So I tried to get into college. They wouldn't let me into college. I could get my dog into LC, okay? But they would not let me in. And I'm just like, God, I thought I was doing what you wanted me to do. What's going wrong? And then finally, my final check comes from the outfitter. And I'm like, Kathleen, we got to pay tithe. And she's like, tithe? We don't even go to church. I'm like, I know we haven't went to church, but we got to pay tithe because it's one of God's principles. And if you honor him with your tithe, he'll take care of you. And she's like, uh-uh, it's me or the tithe. She was not happy with me. We had some words. But I found a church. I looked for the closest church to us. My aunt attended a church about 10 miles away. I'm like, we're taking him the money. And so we did. And for 5 months, we were both off work. We did not have a bank account. It was zeros. We didn't have savings. But for 5 months, God carried us. I don't know how our bills got paid, but we never had a late payment. I don't know how we got taken care of. Somebody would show up with a box of food and bring it to us. We'd get a check in the mail from some random stranger. Just time and time, God provided for 5 months of our lives. And it was far exceeding what my little tithe check was. But God was proving himself to me. If you're following my spirit, that was foolishness. I had friends tell me it was foolish. I had relatives tell me it was foolish. It's like, you can't quit your job and not have an income and then give money to the church. Right? That doesn't make sense. It's foolishness. But if we're led by the Spirit and listening to the Spirit, if he says pay tithe, I can't afford not to pay tithe. Right? Like, if that's all that was going to save us, we were sunk already anyway. Somebody said a while back, they said, Arby, it sounds like God just blesses you, and that's all that ever happens in your life. Is you just get blessed, blessed, blessed. Why do you get blessed? And my God is a generous God. But I have given much. I have sacrificed much. I have been obedient when being obedient made no sense at all. And I have said yes to God when saying yes to God made no sense at all. So there have been great struggles in my life to go with his blessing. Just so you know, I've been through the gutter. I've been in the mud. I've been at the depths of despair, wondering if there's any way out. But I prefer to talk about the goodness of my God and how great and mighty he is. And if we'll get through the gutter, if we'll get through the depths of despair, there is joy. There is peace. There is blessing. There is the goodness of God to be enjoyed and experienced. So it's both very real. And I've lived it both. I just prefer to talk about how great my God is. Because he's awesome. So that was one of those times in our life. We had nothing. And nothing had us. But if we follow the Spirit, if we'll be Spirit sensitive, he'll lead us in the right direction. We have to make those tough choices in those times. 1 Corinthians 14:29. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. You might say, well, what does this have to do with discernment? You should discern who's speaking into your life. Using your sense of smell. You know, we have that phrase, I smell a rat. Something smells fishy, right? That's actually discernment working, right? You should discern who's speaking in your life, who you're allowing to speak in your life, because there will be false people come speak over you, false things. If you believe what they're saying about you, you're going to be given to a lie. But if we discern what's being said about us and we test it against the Word of God, says, no, this isn't what God says about me. I don't believe that. Some of us are very quick to hear something and just believe it. And then we do what with it? We pass it along as gossip instead of knowing that it's true. instead of knowing that, is it really mine to share? We have to use our discernment in things that we hear. I hear from a lot of people. Lots of people talk to me, and I often ask, where did you hear it? Did you hear it from the person you're talking about? Well, no, I heard it from so-and-so who heard it from so-and-so who heard it from so-and-so about so-and-so. I was like, oh, well, if you haven't talked to the individual involved in it, you probably shouldn't be talking at all. We could all do a little better at keeping our lips silent, speaking a little less, and listening a little more. Because God says He'll give it to us. This great sense of smell or discernment. You know, confidence is really hard to find. A real confidence that you can spill your guts to and know it's not going to hit town, it's not going to hit Main Street, it's not going to hit Facebook, it's not going to hit an email. The church should be full of confidence. People should be able to turn to us and pour out their deepest, darkest secrets, and they should be locked in a vault. If we listen to the Spirit, He'll tell us when to speak and what to speak and how to speak. So don't believe everything you hear. Don't be the next one in line to go share what you heard. But be sensitive to the Spirit. Weigh it. Is it something I should share? Is it something that needs shared? Is it something that needs help? Is there something I can do about it? Can I help the situation rather than talk about it? 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. Another great piece of discernment. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? Do you want to know the difference between right and wrong? Some of us have our own opinion of right and wrong. But if we weigh right and wrong against the Word of God, if we weigh right and wrong against the Spirit of God, are my actions pleasing to you? Is this okay? Is this not okay? He says we can have that available to us through His Spirit. I like discernment in the Spirit. Because sometimes I think I'm doing something that's okay, and then God will check me and say, whoa, what are you doing? And I'll be like, what? Should I not be doing this? Oh, I didn't think of it that way. God's Spirit is really good about cleaning up my act. It was a big act to clean up, but He's good at it. There are a couple of verses here I'm not going to have time to get to, but it talks about deceiving spirits and listening to the world or listening to Christ's advice. Because we have, all the time, the little cartoon devil and angel, it's really going on. It really is. The devil's always pulling at us, trying to draw us away. And if we allow God, He's always here trying to draw us near and show us the way. But think about how closely sometimes, because the devil is so good at deception, that he almost mirrors and looks like something good. So he will draw us away until the hooks are in so deep we can't get away without Jesus coming in. But I think back in the late 90s, early 2000s when I was guiding and the wolves were just becoming something in our woods, our hound dogs had no idea what they were. So if you had hit a wolf track, it must have smelled somewhere similar to a bear or a mountain lion. At least they wanted to chase these buggers. And it was a lot of work to keep them from pursuing what would kill them. You had to work at it diligently. But the smell obviously was so close that they wanted to pursue it anyway. And that's why if you talk to anybody that runs dogs around, they've had many dogs killed by the wolves. Because their dogs have pursued them thinking They were pursuing what they were intended on catching. And when they get there, they find out, yikes. And it ends their life. Some of us, it's that same way. We go through life without being in tune or sensitive to the Spirit of God. And we begin pursuing what we think we're so supposed to be pursuing. And we get to the end of that line and find out, this isn't what I thought it was at all. This is not what I thought I was chasing. And for some, they actually escape and get away. But for some, it's the end of the line. And they have not found what they were looking for. And they get to experience eternity in hell. So how important is discernment in the Spirit? How important is sensitivity to the Spirit? It's life or death. It's we find true life or we find death. But God gives us this amazing tool right here. This is an amazing tool. We're going to look in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I love this passage. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Does that sound powerful? So even when false spirits come against us, because you do know that the devil is alive and well on the earth, right? And he sends spirits against you to devour you. Which if we let him, he will. But he has no power over us. Because greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. But if we look in the Word of God and say, well, this is what I'm feeling in the Spirit, is it right? And I look in the Word of God and can't find anything to back it up, and it contradicts the Word of God, then it helps me divide that, even in the Spirit. Is it of God or is it not of God? We've got to get a lot better at it. A whole lot better at it. I think of course, I used to do a lot of hound hunting, so I have lots of hound hunting stories because they have incredible noses, right? It always amazed me. We could go hunting, shoot a bear, throw the bear in the back of the truck, on top of the dog box that the dogs are riding in, and we'd be driving down the road and the dogs would blow up again, which means they smell a bear. Which they know it's not that bear that's on the box, they know it's another bear. And I'm like, wow, how much more high caliber of a nose they have than us. But in the Spirit, I think we can get to that level. To where we can get to, I smell a rat. I smell something that's not of God. I smell something that's going to hurt us. And I've had moments in life that I've made decisions that in the moment, I didn't know why I made that decision, but I just didn't feel right about it. And then a little while later, whatever was there that I was supposed to do or not to do would be uncovered. And it's like, oh, that's why I wasn't allowed to go there. Or that's why I shouldn't have done that. I'm glad I didn't do that. So time and time again, I've had that happen in my life. Discernment is there to protect us from danger, to protect us from the schemes of the enemy of our soul. But we have to sharpen it. We have to heighten the sense of our smell. When I was about 14, I was hunting with my little brother. We were grouse hunting, walking down this road. Had a 22 and a 410. And my brother stops and goes, I'm like, what? And he's like, I smell something. I'm like, I don't smell anything. We're whispering, trying to be quiet. I'm like, what is it? He's like, I don't know, it stinks. We take about two more steps and look over the hedge, and about from here to the front row is this huge black bear that my brother was smelling. I don't know if I would have ever smelled him. I might have walked right into him. I don't know. But in the spirit, there's dangers close. Satan wants your soul. He wants to captivate your mind. He wants to captivate your will. He wants to control your emotions. But God wants them even more. And if you'll yield them to Him, that's why I said, Lord, renew my mind daily. Arby needs help. Lord, renew my emotions daily. Arby needs help. Lord, renew my will daily. Show me your will, because Arby needs help. Then I yield my soul to the Lord God Almighty and allow Him to come in and take over and show me the way. Instead of Arby having his plan for his day, my plans often change throughout the day. I have my agenda. But often God speaks to me and goes, I want you to cancel that and go do that. I want you to not do that and do this. Well, I want you to do this, 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 and this. But if we're sensitive to it, and I find in those moments that I really get to meet people's needs, instead of just going about Arby's agenda and checking things off my list and say, I did good today. I got all the boxes checked. If you think about the sense of smell and it drawing back memories, you think about the sense of discernment, and it can remind us where we've been here before and it didn't end well. Or, oh yeah, I remember this. This is God. One of my favorite smells is in the fall when you're in a patch of ferns. It has this one smell at a certain time of the year. And it takes me back to all those hikes with Grandma through the woods. That's where it takes me. I don't know where it takes you. Like, it takes me to a certain spot on this certain ridge, on this certain old logging road with Grandma hunting. And the memories of Grandma start coming back. If we do that in the spirit, that memory kicks in. We remember the goodness of God in our lives. And we say, oh yeah, last time I obeyed, He blessed me. He healed my emotions. He renewed my mind. He showed me His will instead of my own. We can help a lot more people when we get healed and whole. Because when God heals us, it's great to get a broken arm healed. But if He can heal my emotions, so that I'm not just a basket case all day, every day. If I'm emotionally healthy, I can help people. If I'm mentally healthy, I can help people. If I'm spiritually healthy, I can help people. If I'm physically broken, I can still help people. Not as well as I like. But God wants to heal a lot more than your body. He wants to heal your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your soul that He breathed in through your nose at the creation of man. That's pretty awesome. A God that loves us that much. As we close here, think about the Bible often talks about these fragrant offerings that go up to the Lord. And of course, it's talking about the burnt sacrifices of the Old Testament. I don't know if you've ever smelt a burning animal or flesh in a fire. I have this one sense of smell. When I was about three, I was probably four, I fell against the stove with my arm. And this flesh just burnt. So I have that smell on my nose, and if I smell it again, it takes me back to that moment. Which I don't like to go back to, because it wasn't fun. The burning offering that God's talking about, the fragrance isn't actually from the offering, because it probably stinks pretty bad. It's from the humility of humanity. Because what they're doing is taking their possession, taking their provision, laying it on the altar in sacrifice, saying, God, this cow, this ram, this sheep, whatever it is, really, it can do nothing for me without you. So I'm offering it up to you, giving you sovereignty in my life, saying, without you, we are nothing. It's giving God his proper place. It's saying, God, we know, we understand that we need atonement for our wrongdoing. It's saying, God, without you, we can't do it. So what's pleasing to him is our obedience, our acknowledgement of we need atonement, we need a Savior, and his sovereignty of who he is as our Lord, our God, our Creator. So you think about that. When you come to God and you repent, when you come to God and say, I'm stumped, I can't do this without you, it's like the Old Testament putting that sacrifice on the altar, saying, I need a Savior, I need a healer, I need a friend, I need a Creator, I need a Maker, I need a Lord God that's above all else to come pull me out of the situation I'm in. And that obedience, that humility that we pour out then is that fragrant offering that goes up, and God loves that smell. It's a good smell. So this week, as you smell things in the natural, think, how am I doing in the spiritual in my discernment? Am I sharpening my skills of discernment? Am I increasing, growing, developing so that I can get healed and whole, so I can help those around me? Because that's what God wants for you and I. He wants you healthy. He wants you whole so you can meet the needs of those around you. Amen? Amen. I'm going to pray and we'll invite Wayne to come and close. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the power of your Holy Spirit. God, for your direction. God, for your discernment you give us through your Spirit. And God, as we go this week, we ask that you would lead and direct each of us, God. God, into a deeper walk with you, deeper understanding of your word. God, a deeper relationship with you, God, that you would fill us with hunger and thirst. God, for your way, for your emotions. God, for your mind. Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you, Arby.